B-Pod Studios.
Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, Brad Stevens talking with the media this afternoon, saying that the guys look good. They look good physically, and the team has had no positive tests, and that nobody has opted out on the Celtics of playing in the Orlando bubble. Pacers guard Victor Oladipo, however, says he still remains undecided on whether or not he is going to report to Orlando. Commissioner Adam Silver saying he's still pretty confident about the league's plan to return to play, but did say if the spread of the coronavirus in the NBA occurs, that could bring the season to a stop again. It's not final yet, but looks like the NHL has shifted its two hub cities for their return to Toronto and Edmonton. In the NFL, Jay Glazer saying that the league has a decision to make about Antonio Brown, and depending on that outcome, he does expect serious interest in the league for the former Patriots wide receiver. And in college athletics, the Ivy League has announced that they will make a final decision on the fall sports season on July 8th. Sports of Headlines brought to you by Rapid Flow Sewer and Drain Cleaning. Are you fed up with your sewer drain backups? Don't just call any drain company. Do what Mark Bertrand did and permanently fix your main sewer line in just one day with their no-dig pipelining technology. Call 1-800-286-FLOW or visit rapidflowinc.com. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports. Up your next update, 30 minutes.
We're Boston's home for sports.
Hi, guys. Love your show. Thanks for all you do.
The home for live.
We try to relate to the listener.
And local.
A guy in Boston.
And we do it together.
Sometimes you guys aggravate me so much I can turn you up. But here I am, turning back on.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Peace up, A-Town. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Peace up, A-Town. Let's go. Bang.
Trying to get a little VI. Keep it down on the low key. Low key.
Need no pizza. I got food there. So I'd be interested to hear what's on your menu for the long holiday.
This
weekend.
Is on it. This is on it.
No. Not your playlist. Your actual menu. Your food menu. What you're planning on doing food wise? Starting. You're off after today at 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I know you think about these things well in advance in terms of the meats that you gather up.
I've sort of been off for the last 2 hours. Yeah, but. We do a big clam bake every 4th. That's the tradition at the house. We get like, my brother-in-law brings this massive, he's got one of those industrial burners that he brings over. We just throw everything in, corn, you know, red potatoes, crab, you name it, sausages, linguica, throw lobsters in the, we do the clams, the little necks, not the quahogs, but we do stuffed quahogs. Those are delicious. We pretty much do everything, on the 4th. Burgers, dogs for the kids, steak tips, just easy stuff.
How long? I've never done a clam bake because I'm not like a big, huge seafood guy. How long does that have to cook? I would think
a lot
like,
of prep.
And just hours to make sure everything.
Not as long as you think, buddy.
Really?
Yeah, not as long as you think. It's you know what the problem is? The prep. You got to prep everything. You know, onions, garlic, you just throw it all in. You know, just throw it in. We get one of those big paddles too. You just stir it up, and you got the big,
it's like a
big
cauldron.
Jar, about a quart jar. Yes, it's a cauldron, but it's like a quart jar of like the crab boil stuff. You order it online, you just throw that in. It's Old Bay, and then you just throw it on top of a picnic table, and then come on, kids, let's go. Kid, I'm grabbing my kid. He's trying to eat all the hot dogs. See how many he could get in his mouth.
It's just once it comes out of the cauldron, how is it served?
With your hands.
No, I mean, do you like scoop it out in a bowl? Do you put it all on a table? What do you do?
You know, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, they have one of those big, the strainer scoops.
Yeah.
That's like a big round one.
Yeah.
You take that, you just dump it right on top of cardboard and newspaper, right on top of a picnic table, and just throw it right out there.
Wow.
And then you just come and pick at it. It's fun. It's right there on the beach, and then, you know, yeah.
And then
it's good stuff.
And then the kids get their own, like, kid food.
You know what it is? Yeah. You don't even have to eat. We pick as you go as we're cooking it, too. So, like, by the time it's done, like, you don't even want to eat it. But the smell permeates the whole neighborhood. Like, It's McCona, be good for you with all your zits on your forehead. Get over that thing and just it steams it. You just pop those suckers as you go.
That's tough. Unbelievable. Yeah. Also called me Dwight Schrute on Twitter about 15 minutes ago, which was tough too.
Well, they said that was because Dwight got stuck at the kids' table who was it? Jim and Pam's wedding up.
That's right.
Niagara Falls. Yeah. Yeah.
McCone's about 25 feet away from me on the other side of the glass, but I think your skin is in good shape.
I think it's pretty impeccable, too.
Impeccable strong.
Look at that. It's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just any spice, any seafood spice you can get.
He sits on his forehead. What are you doing? Poor McCone.
You know what else I could do, Hardy? I take Old Bay, and we have these little mini plastic cups. You know, you put the butter in. I put Old Bay in there. I literally lick my finger. Stick it in the Old Bay seasoning thing. I'll just sit there and eat Old Bay and drink beer. I could eat Old Bay seasoning and beer, and that could be the only thing I have on the 4th. And I'd be happy.
There's not a lot of sustenance there, though. I mean, there's not much protein.
Salt, yeah.
It's just salt and beer. All right. We're hearing.
And then I just play Lee. We play Lee Greenwood, like, the whole day. Like, you know, just American music, man.
You just put that Patriotic Proud to Be music. An American song on a loop.
That, Ray Charles, man. Oh, bring a tear to your eye.
All right.
America the Beautiful.
It's, come on. Sandlot. It's great.
Speaking of that, I got to head to Lowe's and get some flags after this. Need salt and flags. A lot of flags. We probably have 50 flags that we put up on a house down there.
How are they attached to the house?
Ripcord. Zip lines. Little, what do they call those? Zip ties.
I don't know. Zip tie. Oh, zip ties.
Yeah.
Zip
tie. We have the bunting. We put all around the railings. And then I got staple gun. I just staple everything else. And then we stick the mini flags in all around the fence.
I'm with you, man. Zip ties are the new duct tape.
So the total is probably 50 flags.
Oh, I love the zip ties. Rodney,
zip ties great because then you just clip it.
Yeah.
You know, the duct tape rips paint off and stuff, and then you get sticky crap all over your house.
Yeah, you go up there with the wire cutters. You clip them, done. They're done.
Yeah, teeth, yeah.
Rodney Harrison says, I don't know how we're going to have a season. Let me repeat that. I don't know how we're going to have a season. He was on with Mike Florio, and he talked about just the logistics of football, right? He said, you have to breathe on people. You have to tackle people. You spit on people. Guys have cuts. Guys cough. I don't know how we're going to have a season. Does it give you even more, I guess, concern when a guy like Rodney Harrison comes out and says something like that?
Yeah, I mean, this started with me, you know, 2 weeks ago when I was on with you and Beetle. And you said, you know, hey, what's your opening take on this Friday? I said, I'm afraid for football. Because I'm watching the college level. I'm watching the big-time college sports. You know, the big-time, SEC, you know, Clemson, Alabama, LSU. These kids are getting whacked with it. And here's the thing. There's the one test, right, with the long swab, the real accurate test that goes down your nose. Supposedly there's another test that is like 60% accurate. It's like a quick swab in your nose. I'm wondering if programs want to do the quick swab and just not really find out if the kid has it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Pretend we're in the bubble. You see what I'm saying? Pretend we're in the bubble. Young, healthy, asymptomatic. We really don't want to know if the kid has it or not. We just want to play. How many of these kids are going to actually have it when you show up? Because you're so damn healthy. You hear so many stories that I have no symptoms. I don't feel like I have anything. But I have it? What do you mean I have it? Now I got to go in quarantine for 2 weeks? And Rodney's right. I mean, look at all the NFL videos. In the cold weather where the steam's coming out of the guy's face mask or the snot's dripping out of the nose. You hit somebody and you see, you know, spit come out of the mouthpiece. You got cuts on your body. You got fingers falling off. I mean, this is football. It's gladiator sport. And now, okay, hey, watch the way they want to play baseball. You can't high five after a home run or a walk-off. Stay away from people. No more spit. Baseball can't even spit. What are you gonna tell me if I'm running a hill out there on a football and I'm gagging? I can't spit. You're damn right I'm gonna spit. And this is what Rodney's talking about. Like, we are creatures of habit as athletes. You're gonna do what you do to get ready, and you're gonna play the game the way you play the game. It's a violent game. It's collisions. It's contact. It's guys laying on top of each other. It's intimidating your opponent. I mean, Crabtree and Akib, they spit in each other's face. You know, look at the Steve Smith stuff with it. I mean, it's ice up, son. People get after it in that sport. And now you're going to tell them, tone it down. Everybody tone it down.
Right.
We gotta watch his fires. No, you go play, and maybe this is why, guys. And I said this when Cam Newton said, like, they need bodies. They might carry three guys at quarterback. I mean, the normal job right now is to carry two because you don't have the third quarterback role in effect anymore, and you want to carry that extra special teamer. Very rarely teams carry three quarterbacks. You know, now you might carry three, you might carry four. Don't forget Tom Brady was on this team as a fourth quarterback in 01. They carried him. People forget that, or 2000, excuse me.
Rodney
plays the game a violent way, and he knows the ins and outs of it and the dirty part of it. And I'm not saying Rodney's a dirty player, but you got to play with that edge. And Rodney's telling you, I don't know how the hell they're going to do it.
Now, he understands how down and dirty the game can be. And he's looking at it from the way I played and the way I saw it. I don't know how they're going to be able to pull it off. We talked about the lunacy of asking baseball players not to spit anymore, not to do this and that. How do you do that in football? How do you try and encourage these guys?
TV timeouts. You take your mouthpiece out. You're spitting through your mask. You're not a button in your helmet. You got TV timeouts where kids running out there with a towel. Everybody's sharing the same towel. What are you gonna have a towel for every 53? People on every 53rd person on your team, and you're going to line them up down the bench, and that guy's got his towel. We're going to logogram the towel and make sure your initials are on it. Don't share another person's towel. You're taping people up. You know, how about the guy that's taping you? What's he got to put on, rubber gloves now? If you got a cutter, your ankle's gone, and they take you under the blue tent, a pop-up tent goes, hurry up. Everybody hurry up. Get your masks on before you go in that tent.
There's that concern about being able to play at all. And then there's the concerns of, say, James White and other players when they start talking about some different ideas for travel and game day travel. We'll talk about that next because I'm very interested, Zone, what you have to say about that. If the league's idea of saying, hey, you know what? We'll cut down on some of these risks. No hotels. We'll fly out the morning of a game, play the game, and then fly right back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Can't wait to hear what you have to say about that. We'll talk about that
I'll tell you about that next.
Okay. Yeah. Here on Zolak and Bertrand.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The learning to fly. They're flying on game days. Jim, is that what we're doing?
I'm so high at this concert.
When did you go to a Pink Floyd concert?
Oh, my God.
May 20th, 1994.
Thank you, Jim.
I was there as well.
When people ask if pigs could fly, pigs flew that night.
Okay. Jim, how old were you, 13?
It was the night of my junior prom. We didn't go to the junior prom. We went to the Pink Floyd concert instead.
Look at you partying.
Just got my license.
Your girlfriend at the time?
No. A couple friends. It's like four of us.
Oh. Yeah.
Did you have a date for the junior prom?
No.
Okay, it was his name.
So, Butch? We had tickets a long time before they announced it was going to be on May 20th.
My point is this. It's not like you had a decision to make. If you weren't going to the junior prom.
I would have gone with somebody, but I just didn't go.
Okay. So you were what then, 16 years old?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Here's what the NFL is thinking. According to Mike Florio on NBC Sports, the planning for the season includes a revolutionary and risky approach to traveling to road games. Multiple teams intend to fly to and from road games on the day of the game. It's an idea that's been percolating for a while, something Peter King floated a couple of months ago, and it could be a reality. So, for instance, Pats play. Let's pick
Seattle. At Seattle.
No.
Let's start there. First road trip, Seattle. Let's go, Peter. Let's go, Peter King. Peter. Yeah.
There will
maybe we'll leave. Maybe we can leave at 4 a.m. We'll get there what time? 9?
It's paragraph 3. There will be limitations. The 49ers play at the Jets in week 2. It won't be practical to fly across the country, play a game, and fly back. So let's leave Pats at Seahawks out of this. But how about Patriots?
Pats at Buffalo.
How about Patriots at Bills? 4 o'clock game.
Pats at Buffalo? I mean, here's the problem. Is you swell when you're on the plane, meaning your joints. Your joints swell. You'd be like, oh, what are you talking about? I fly all the time. Well, you don't play contact sport where you're still healing from the previous week and it takes you up to Wednesday till you're feeling decent. The one thing they want to do, and especially on West Coast trips, we're sticking with Buffalo, but West Coast trips, we always figured out that we go on Friday, give you an extra day to get your feet up, get in the hotel, so the swelling in your joints could come down. You hydrate. You know, flying dehydrates you also. So you're pumping fluids. They're coming around the plane. They're giving you as much water as they can. You get off your feet. You go through walkthroughs. You really don't even practice on Fridays anymore. They're trying to take care of the body at the end of the week. Just the actual thought to think you're going to get an entire organization. Okay, let's stick with Buffalo. 4 o'clock game. So the way we travel as a party,
to be
we
fair,
have 5 buses from the stadium.
Okay.
So we're going to get to the stadium, meaning, say we're even lucky enough to travel with the team this year because of COVID. Say we do. We need to be on the buses an hour and a half before the team even gets screened to go through travel security. When they do all the security screening at the stadium. So we go through all the screening process. You get on the buses. Then it's another 45-minute ride to TF Green. Takes you an hour to get everybody on the plane, get all the bags loaded, get all the equipment loaded. Sit down. What are you going to give them a pregame meal? Or are you going to eat regular stuff? Are you going to worry about how that food, plane food, will affect people that are going to play in a game later that day at 4 p.m.? I see zero chance any of this stuff happens. I understand why they're talking about it, but you're uprooting an entire organization, picking them up. Say Buffalo. Okay, so if we got a 4 o'clock game in Buffalo, what time do we have to be at the stadium that Sunday? Think about the grind, how tired the players are going to be, how mentally tired you're going to be, along with physically tired. You're on a schedule, right? So we're going to be at the stadium at 8 a.m., board of things. Okay, we're going to get Wills up at, say, 11, because it's a 45-minute flight. Okay, Wills down at noon. Get your asses, hurry up, get off the plane, get on the bus as quick as you can, because we got to get to Orchard Park. Then you're going to get into one of the smallest locker rooms on the road because it's a miserable existence. It's Buffalo, everything about Buffalo, except the steakhouse. Buffalo Steakhouse is our favorite one on the road. That would piss me off, too, because we wouldn't be able to go eat there. But to think about the length of that day, and then good luck if you have a Thursday game that week. Okay, so say we would start traveling at 8 a.m. that day, play the game, a 4 o'clock game in Buffalo. You're done at 7. By the time you board the buses, you're not out of there, out of Orchard Park until 8:30. Wills up, you land in Providence. Okay, now you got another 45-minute ride back after you get on the buses. Then you get to your home because you got to drive to your home. You're lucky if you're in bed by 11 p.m. that night. And then you got to hurry up and flip and turn around and get ready to play a game on Thursday night. Some teams, good luck.
Okay,
good luck, National Football League.
What about, let's say, week 9, when the Pats are at the Jets?
Even worse.
For a primetime game, 8:15. Yeah. You couldn't fly out that morning and play that night?
I mean, that's kind of a one outlier. But, again, it's a long day traveling. You know, you and I get back to a normal work schedule when hopefully we ever get out of this funk and we get back in studio to where we're sitting in traffic, stop and go traffic, and it takes me 2 hours to get in from here where I live. How tired are you by the time you show up to practice, show up to do the show? Like, Jesus, that was just exhausting, sitting in all that traffic. And I didn't do anything. I just sat there and stared. Imagine what it's going to be like after 8 weeks of playing a full contact gladiator type sport. You're not taking care of your players doing this.
I guess the question would be, too, what are you
I'd roll with the risk. I'd roll with the what risk of going to a hotel.
Yeah, what are you really saving by doing this?
Well, what,
you
don't, one you, night in a hotel?
You don't have to stay in a hotel. All right, are you sharing rooms? You know, are you sharing rooms with the general public? Are you turning everybody loose on the town to go do whatever they want the night before? Or
don't lick your remote when you get to the hotel. That's all. Like, that's the first thing I do. Where's the remote? Let me lick it. Yeah.
It seems like a pretty drastic change in how teams handle their travel. for a very little return in terms of increased safety.
You're insane if you think this is even in the mix. Can't do it. The amount of people, the amount of staff you bring.
Are your flights ever delayed when you're leaving TF Green?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if you're cutting it a little close and you're going to get into town,
that's a great point you bring up.
4 or 5 hours before the game, and whoops, we got some weather. We can't take off for about 90 minutes until the system goes through.
We've been really good with the planes. I mean, we got the nice planes that they fly us on, the Patriots. They bought their own planes, so they have two planes. I'm not getting into details because I'm not allowed to speak about any delays or any issues within a plane, but don't think over the 10 years that there was never a delay. And imagine that. Say you got equipment or an engine malfunction prior to takeoff. What do you do? Do you delay the game? Can't get the football team there because we're leaving day of.
If it happens the night before or the afternoon before, you've got time to figure out other arrangements. Okay, we'll charter a different flight. We'll get all you media guys there commercial, and we'll find just one plane for the team and coaches. You've got time to figure this out.
Now you're putting players on another plane that's not yours that you didn't have properly fumigated or disinfected the way you like to have it disinfected because you have your own plane and nobody else flies it.
But to me, it's time. You know, it's like you're not up against it time wise.
That's not smart. It doesn't. I know you're avoiding things and you think you're helping yourself. I mean, at some point, again, we got to find a way to live with this thing and go play. Just go play. Wear your mask, wash your hands, do what the people ask you to do, the people that know what they're talking about, and just be aware of your surroundings and be an adult. And when you get to the hotel, lock your door, get in there, you do your meetings, go back to bed, get a good night's sleep, get up and play a football game, then get the hell out of Dodge. Now we're really trying to nitpick stuff from a creativity standpoint. Well, we could do this, really? Can you run around? Can you run go routes all day? Can you play 66 plays and then, you know, be told to get on a plane and put your feet up, and now everybody's you got a packed plane and your knees are up against the guy in front of you and he wants a recline because he's 6'6", 330 pounds, and he can't fit in a seat? I mean, come on, man. It's nice to think about other options, but this is ridiculous from a football standpoint.
All right.
Sorry, I don't think it would ever work.
All right, we're gonna get to some calls here on just restarting play. Especially in the NFL, Cam Newton too in the mix here.
We got some good sequels that have been sent to me through Twitter too that we have missed and are outstanding.
Okay, good comedy sequels. There's not a lot of them. Comedy sequels that are as good or better than the original. So all
Back
of that
future, part two
after McCone's and a call.
Wake up, Biff.
A call about McCone too. We'll get to that first after McCone's Hub headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. 617-779-0985. Your chance to talk about Cam Newton getting back to play with coronavirus or Zoe's idea that there are many, many comedy sequels that are equal to or better than the original. I know you got a lot of suggestions sent to you via Twitter, Zoe.
Yeah.
So we'll get to those. But first, a phone call for Tim McCone. This is Tony in East Brookfield. What's up, Tony?
Well, I know that Zolak likes to look around, and I was looking at your buddy there. Is it Tim McCune?
McCone.
Close enough.
McCone.
Okay.
Close good enough.
Well, I was wondering, because I got a bad eye anyway. I'm getting some surgery done on it at the VA. You know how the VA is. And I thought I recognized him as a potential brother for the agent on the Progressive insurance company. I don't know if that's possible, but on the serious...
Oh, I know. You're talking about... You're talking about Jake from State Farm with the khakis, not Progressive.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant the Progressive guy, the guy that hangs around with the brunette girl, and he's like...
Oh, Tim is Progressive.
No, he's talking about Jamie from Progressive.
Yeah,
I have
exactly,
no clue.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, the real rumor I wanted to tell you about, and I don't think you guys have heard it, is Tony Maz, his agent, has approached him, and this is going to be a big one. He is going to potentially take over as a person who's going to do voiceovers for a cartoon character, which hasn't been mentioned yet. So even Tony Maz is not going to put that on the air. So
all
there
right.
you go.
Tony, thank you for your service. Good luck with your eye surgery. And
Jamie from Progressive is the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me. I'm looking at this guy now.
Jamie from Progressive.
I need a picture. Put it up, NBC Sports Boston now.
A secret one. He's got a secret life as like a... He's like a secret agent. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a...
Who is this you speak of?
Jamie from Progressive. He's the one that...
Not Flo, right? That Flo
no,
weirdo?
Woman? He works with Flo.
I can't stand Flo. She's annoying.
You know who Jamie is from Progressive. There's no way you don't know. But
Cone looks like Randy from...
Jamie from Progressive looks like he could be the brother of the Shermanator from American Pie. No freckles, though.
I'm telling you, you know who it is, though. I can't describe him to you.
Shermanator.
But okay. I don't think you look like Jamie, though, Tim. And even if you did, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's fine. Max in Worcester, you're on with Zolak and Hardy in for Beetle. What's up, Max?
Hey, guys. So like a lot of Pats fans, I'm super psyched about Cam Newton. I think the reason I am is because, you know, expecting big things from N'Keal Harry, Edelman's always going to do his thing. But I'm actually really jazzed about Marquise Lee. Curious to hear your guys' thoughts on him, if he can make a difference. And then one quick point on COVID. I'd be more worried about the coaches. You know, the median age of NFL players, it's got to be, what, 25, 26? These guys are in great shape for the most part. Nobody's worried about Ezekiel Elliott, you know, keeling over. I'd be worried about 65-year-olds like Belichick or these guys going back to their families and hanging out with their kids. I think that's the worry, but... curious to get your thoughts on that and Marquise Lee.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to be concerned about. Marquise Lee has played in this league a little bit, had some big catch down the sideline against us. I know he likes to get up and get the football. They got him for good money, another good Patriots deal, right? We'll see. We'll see how he adapts to the system. I'm not going to get excited about the Kenny Britts of the world, you know, coming in here anymore based on how many receivers, Derek Deckers and all them. We'll see.
With regard to the coaches, though, isn't this kind of what we were talking about? If you're going to get back and you're going to do some things, you're going to involve some level of risk, and you're going to have to ask certain segments of the population to take on more of the burden than others. And if you fall into that one of those categories of having a pre-existing condition or a certain age or somebody who seems to be, and again, it changes all the time. We see the number of young positive cases happening, you know, in Florida and Texas and California, but... if you're of one of those age groups that seems to be more susceptible to either A, being affected, infected, or B, being stricken critically ill by it, you may be asked to spend more time at home than you're used to. If you want to be a part of an organization going forward and trying to get back to business, and yes, there are a number of NFL coaches that would fall into one of those categories. I don't know if they're going to. I don't know if they're going to deem it unfair or if they're going to be on board with it, but I know that some coaches have already asked about it just for themselves. Hey, I'm in one of these groups. When we start getting back in the buildings, can I stay at home and keep working via Zoom? Is that okay? And it's going to have to be okay if you're going to want to, you know, get back and have things you know, kind of start up again. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, they already talked about that too, like some of these coaches.
Yes.
You know, saying like, hey, you know, we've always been told, you know, it's a 14-hour grind of a day, where we've actually gotten work done, working from home. We see our families more, and we might incorporate this more into our off season next year and our approach to doing things. I think there's a lot of people that feel that way, and you know, you just hope beyond football, you just hope it doesn't affect the workforce that way too. Wow, we're getting a lot more done with people staying at home. Maybe we'll need all these bodies coming in the office. Maybe we could cut down on jobs.
A lot less traffic.
We don't want that to happen. Yeah.
We don't want that. Pete in Delaware. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. Hey, two quick points. One on Cam Newton. Jesus. What's wrong?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing, Pete. Oh. How you doing, Pete?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Hey, two quick points. I don't want to keep you. Cam Newton, I think he's going to have one benefit he's never had in Charlotte. Is that Bill Belichick being his coach, the referees are finally going to protect him more because he was always just beat up as a quarterback, never got the calls, and I think that's going to be a mental advantage
that.
He's never
Disagree
had.
With that. Disagree with that, Pete. Most of his hits came from outside the pocket, and that's when he became a runner. When you become a runner, all bets are off. You're no longer a quarterback to me.
Actually, no, I got to disagree with you. I watched him for 3 years when I lived in Charlotte from 2014 to 2017. Okay. You are not wrong. A lot of it's on Cam, but a lot of late hits he took in the pocket. He took at the knees. And they were never got the whistle. If that happens in New England, do you agree that won't happen in New England because Belichick's the coach?
I don't think so. I think it all comes down to the player. You know, Brady was good at getting those calls. I think the veteran quarterbacks get him. And for Cam's point of view here, and I know you watch him, and I've talked about this too, he hangs on to the ball. He likes the big play. And when you hang on to the ball, Roethlisberger does it too. Roethlisberger's another guy gets nicked up a lot, right? Foot, knee, elbow, head, back. Because why? You're hanging on to the ball because it's not. And that's one thing for Cam. I think it'd be an advantage getting here to get in a system where it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom, get the ball out. And that'll take the hits off Cam more than anything than getting a call from a ref or two. Thanks for the call, Pete.
All right. So what are some of the suggestions you got on your Twitter about the comedy sequels
that people
think are as good or better than the original?
Back to the Future 2, where Biff takes over. He gets the Sports Almanac.
That's not the Wild West one. That's not until 3, right?
Wayne's World 2. Game over.
Wayne's World 2, I got no problem with that movie. I think that holds up with the original.
Another good one here. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was awesome. After Excellent Adventure.
I didn't see that one. I can't help you. I can't.
Pie 2, they said. Carol Baskins is on Cameo.
Yeah.
I'm on Cameo. Hey, I'm on Cameo if you need any shout-outs for the 4th. Boom, 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 boom. Tonight.
I'm getting a lot of alerts that Carol Baskins is now on Cameo. Here's one that should offend everybody. Ghostbusters 2. That's from Chuck on Twitter. I don't think anybody thinks Ghostbusters is the sequel is anything close to the original.
RoboCop 2. Not a comedy.
Not a comedy. It's one of the... You know what? I walked out of that movie.
Did you really?
It's one of two movies I've ever walked out on.
You'd have to see RoboCop 1 first. I've never done that.
I don't even know that you did.
Can't follow. It's where you couldn't follow it. Yeah.
Lethal. Now in Lethal Weapons, there's somewhat comedies, right? With Leo Getz, right? Hey, come on. Danny Glover.
I think of those as action movies, though.
Action movies, but crazy. Yeah, Lethal Weapon 2.
Lethal Weapon 2 was on last night. That's a really good movie. I mean, the first one is cool because it's a little, you know.
Here's an all-timer, and this one is money. And this is money, and this is the game changer. This is the winner. Grumpier Old Men with Walter Matthau and what's his name?
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon, yeah.
With
Grumpier Old Men 2 is even better than the first one.
Who's it? Sophia Loren?
Why don't you come get a load of my cannelloni? You know, the old man. Yes.
Sophia Loren is in that.
The other attractive older lady is in it too.
I can't give you that one.
Jacob's such a putz, the son. the woman with the Adam's apple on her neck. What's her name?
Grumpier Old Men is 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it may be not as good as you remember it. And certainly not as good as the original.
I laughed at the whole thing because it reminds me of my grandpa and my uncle.
Yeah. But the original, are you thinking of the first one or are you thinking of the second one?
The second one would come around when Gus dies, right? The fisherman place. And they turn it into the Italian joint.
That's Chuck. Chuck dies in the first
one. Chuck's bait shop.
I tell you, that girl got around there. And Margaret, she really got around in that first one, didn't she?
She sure did. It's kind of desperate going Walter Matthau on that face.
She had a date with Chuck. She had a date with Walter, and then she got with Jack. I mean, spoiler alert, but, you know, he ends up being with her at the end. But, my God, to say that the second one is as good or as... that's tough. All right. I don't know. I have no idea what we have for takeaways. We may end up doing more of this for all I know.
Lawnmowers and pickleball.
Pickle sniffer.
I can't get any better
Lawnmowers and pickle sniffer.
Today's takeaways coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
What
need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right there, people. Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It was built to help clients lose weight through holidays just like the 4th of July. Be prepared for all future celebrations and call the solution for weight loss. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Let's eat. Okay.
Is that part of their tagline now?
Nope. Fog just rolled in my room again. What the hell is going on?
You have fog in your room.
Look how foggy it is. Gas in there. Ooh. Man.
All right. Today's takeaways, we have two things. Jim mentioned, I know the pickleball was one of them.
I like the pickle.
I forget what the other one was. Which one we started with here, Jim?
It was during headlines. We'll start with the lawnmowers.
Okay. This was a Tim McCone special. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So get a Gravely or Ariens zero-turn mower.
It's Ariens. Aaron's, McCone. Aaron's.
I've heard it both ways.
No, it's Aaron's.
So get a Gravely or Aaron's zero turn mower for as little as $26.99 with 0% interest over 48 months. Visit your independent Gravely or Aaron's dealer today. Aaron's, pronounced Aaron's. I didn't see that until the bottom. They should put that at the top. You're right. You're right. That's on me. I'm Tim McCone on Boston.
I told
the prompter reader. Your job is reading. It's being a prompter.
Yeah, exactly.
Reader.
But you got to put the pronunciation first. That's what I'm saying. You can't put
kidding.
It after the read.
Thank
and
you.
Then
thank
I,
you.
What am I going to do?
Right.
I've been there. I've done so much worse. I told
well, have you apples.
Your story is unbelievable.
I told you about one. Zoe, you didn't. It was when I was doing a Duncan read. I was filling in for one of you guys, and it was one of the worst of all time. I can't do it justice, but let me say it was. What you did today was nothing compared to what I did to our wonderful, wonderful client, Dunkin' Donuts, one time in doing a live commercial.
Your best
them.
One ever was apples when it was really applies.
Okay. It happens.
Do you like applies? No, do you like apples?
I hate you doing it to Aaron's and Gravely.
Get your Aaron's today. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially, I mean, Boston Lawnmower, the service and selection and the experience I had in picking out my new FSN FS91R line trimmer, the steel. Oh my God. You should see me. It's
what
like
that cost you.
Don't worry about what it cost me. Worry about the depleting of the rainforest in Canton that's been going on ever since I got
just
that
clearing
thing.
Clearing everything out.
Clearing stuff out that really wasn't even bothering me. It's gone now.
I'm glad you brought it up because Honda's countering with me and they're gonna get me one now. So I appreciate that.
Steel FS91 Boston Lawnmower. All right.
So Zoe's shirt, right?
Yes.
You explained to Zoe this morning, the start of the show, why you couldn't be upset with him wearing his shirt.
Oh, it was a very long explanation. Last night, as I set up the new pool pickleball court in the driveway of the compound, and I taped out the dimensions of the court, by the way, right? And I got a new net and strung it across.
The
it
masking tape, the blue scotch masking tape that you use painter's tape, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to fix them. I got the thin one, right?
3/4
size pickleball court, so. Okay? It can't do the full dimensions are 44 by 20. And I'm like, I don't really quite have.
I laid that tape down
3 days ago. You know that rain that we got?
Yeah.
I lost one strip of tape on the far end of the court, and that's it. And when I say lost it, it's gone. Every other piece of tape stayed.
I replaced that tape. It rained again last night. It's all there this morning.
Just that blue scotch painter's masking tape down on the asphalt.
When I go out last night for the inaugural match on the new pickleball court, I put on an old BCN shirt that had my name on it. So I can't,
shut up.
I can't even goof on you for wearing a Sub-Zo shirt. I'm not going to do it.
See, I didn't even know what you're going to be goofing on me for, and yet I knew what you're going to be goofing on me for.
Yep.
I cut out about a minute of that story.
Jeez,
I'm sorry. So, I'm sorry. I apologize
Lord,
to everyone.
I was born a rambling man.
I apologize to everyone. Well, you know, we had 4 hours to kill, and it was right at the start of the show. I said, why don't I just lop off the first 3 minutes?
I won't be back for a while. Everybody have a great, safe 4th. Get out there. Hot dogs, beers, party. America, baby, undefeated. Let's go.
All right. Thank you, Tim, Jim Louth, James, everybody on the show today. Felger and Maz coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.